Gather your Bibles. I'd like to begin in Exodus chapter 19. Last week we began to look at some of the times in the Bible where the third day was talked about. We mentioned that in the New Testament, the two words third day is mentioned some 16 times in the New Testament. 14 of those times is referring to the best third day that's ever been, and that's the resurrection day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we began to look at some of the other times in the Bible where the third day is mentioned and some of the great blessings that happened on those days. And I want to continue with that, the Lord being our helper. We come in Exodus chapter 19 to a time in the children of Israel. They've been led out of bondage in Egypt. The Lord has brought them out of slavery and bondage, and he's led them out with a strong and a mighty hand. We know that the children of Israel began to murmur and complain in the wilderness. They've complained against Moses. They've complained against the Lord. He's brought them manna from heaven. He has given them water out of the great and the wondrous rock that's a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now they come to the mount, and the Lord has told them that he's going to come unto them. And in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 11, it said, "And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai." Now, what a blessing it is when the Lord comes down. And he tells them here, on the third day, in the sight of all the people, I'm going to come down and I am going to be with you. They would actually set up boundary markers around Mount Sinai because they were not to get too close when the Lord came down. In verse 16 it says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled." Now here's a great sight. Here, God Almighty, the Lord of glory, that has led them out of bondage in Egypt and has been leading them in the wilderness, who has been giving them manna to eat and water out of the rock to drink, who has been providing for their needs. Now, this same God has come down on the mount in power and in glory, and the people are trembling. They're afraid. It's kind of an interesting scene here because the Lord has given them some instructions to not get too close, to not actually touch the mountain, and they've set up these huge boundary markers around this mountain. And by the way, I believe this mountain is still on the earth, and I believe these boundary markers that were set up are still on this earth. If you were to go to Saudi Arabia today, which actually in Galatians 4, that's where the Bible said this mountain was in Arabia. That's what Galatians tells us, that there's a mountain in Arabia, Saudi Arabia, even to this day, that has a burnt top on it. It's black on the top. And all around this mountain, there are boundary markers that I believe are the same boundary markers that God Almighty told him to set up here. And I believe the Lord's left that as a testament, one of the many archaeological testaments that God's word is true, and that what we read in the Bible is not only to teach us lessons, and certainly it does teach us lessons, but it really happened. It's true history. have an interesting sight here. We have a great time on the third day when the very presence and the very glory of Almighty God comes down on that mountain. But yet there's a fear here. And the Lord tells them, don't get too close. Now, why is that? You see, the Lord's given them a law. And they're guilty under that law. And so there's a part of them that wants to break through and get closer and closer to the Lord. There's also a condemnation there. Because they realize under that law, they're guilty. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about this mountain. It said, we are not come to that mount that might be burned, and the blackness and the darkness we just read about. It said there was thunders, there was lightnings, there was a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. There was a fear there because of their feeling of guiltiness and their feeling of condemnation. And I'm going to tell you, that's not a good feeling, is it? To feel condemned is a bad feeling. Whether we were young and our mom and daddy caught us doing something they had told us not to do. And you know, as little kids, a lot of times the evidence is there. The lid's off of the cookie jar and the cookies are crumbled about. And mom and daddy know, I told you not to eat a cookie, but the cookie crumbs are all around. They've got a good idea. The evidence is there that we've broken their law, and we feel condemned. The children of Israel realize we are guilty under the law, and we've been condemned. So the children of Israel, they wanted to see the sight of the Lord. They wanted to be close to him, but yet this condemnation kept them from it. You know, Hebrews 12 tells us that's not the mountain that we come to today. He said, but ye come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, whose names are written in heaven, and to Jesus. That's who we come to today. And to Jesus, the mediator of a New Testament, not the old, but a New Testament which speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, what does that mean? Who's to the blood of the New Testament which speaketh better things than that of Abel? What did Abel's blood speak of in the Old Testament? You remember what God told Cain? After Cain had killed his own brother Abel, God told Cain, he said, your brother Abel's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It cried guiltiness because Cain had killed his own brother. And the blood of Abel cried out for vengeance and cried out for guiltiness. But I'll tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus, the blood we've been blessed to be shed on our behalf, and we've been washed in that blood, does not cry out vengeance. It cries out grace. It cries out mercy. It cries out love. You see, we don't come to a mountain of guiltiness and condemnation this morning. They came to the great sight of God on the third day. But yet, their condemnation and their guiltiness separated them from the Lord. But I'll tell you, we come to the mount today with no condemnation. That's why in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We come with no condemnation. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. He fulfilled the law. He washed our sins in his own precious blood. So now we can come greatly desiring to feel his presence, greatly desiring to see His glory, but with no fear. One of the frequent repeated statements in the Bible is to fear not. We come, that's why we're able to today and every day that we live to come boldly under the throne of grace. Do you think they were coming boldly up here? No, because of their condemnation, but the Lord's taking care of that. Because of what He did for us on Calvary's tree, we are no longer condemned. And we stand before Him today, not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation because of what Jesus has done for us. We can come to Him boldly, to His throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 2 Kings chapter 20, we come to another time that the two words third day are mentioned. We come to a time where there's a king. He's been a very godly king. The Bible said he was one that walked in the footsteps of King David and was very obedient to the Lord. He was very faithful to the Lord, and he was a good and a godly king. We pick up in 2 Kings chapter 20 in the life of this good, godly king, whose, by the way, Hezekiah's name means Jehovah is strength. Jehovah is my strength. Said, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Here this very godly king, someone who has served the Lord and had tried to lead the nation of Israel in a good and a godly way, is now getting this very distressing news. Put your house in order. You're not going to be here long, for you shall die and not live. What does the king do? We see in the very next verse what he did. In hearing this very difficult news, it says, Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He turned his face away from those that were with him, and he turned to the wall so he could pray just him and the Lord. You know, it's a great blessing to come together in the house of God and for someone to lead us in prayer. And you know, when someone's leading us in prayer, it's not just them praying, but we're all to pray with them. They are leading us in prayer, but we're all here praying together. And that's a great blessing, the public prayer that we have in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, it's a great blessing that we have private prayer. That we're able in privacy, here, this king of a nation, a godly man, who's heard this distressing news. You're about to die, Hezekiah. He turns his face to the wall so it'd be just him and the Lord, and he pours out his heart to God. What a blessing we have that opportunity. What a blessing that the Lord hears our prayers at any time of the day or night, no matter where we are. There's no place where God Almighty does not hear the prayer of His little elect, of His little children. So then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, and I'll tell you, he went to the right place right off. I thank God for doctors and for nurses and for the great medical blessings that we have today. But I'll tell you, our trust should never be in those things. We're to use those things and to be thankful for those things and thank God for those things. But our trust is in the Lord. And I'll tell you, Hezekiah, the king of the nation, before he did anything else, he prays to the Lord. He said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. You know, one of the things that really kind of society teaches us, particularly men, and it's, in my opinion, wrong, and I think I can prove it with the Bible, is that men aren't supposed to cry. That somehow it's wrong or it shows weakness for men to cry. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Lord Jesus wept. King David, the mighty warrior, the mighty king of Israel, wept. Here this great and godly king pours out his heart to the Lord and he weeps. And it's okay. It's okay. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Sometimes we pray for things for years and for years and for years. And one day, we see the Lord has answered our prayers. And that's a great blessing. And we should have a perseverance in prayer to keep on praying no matter what. But I'm going to tell you, it's a great blessing when we poured out our heart to the Lord and it seems like before those words have ever left our mouth that God Almighty has answered our prayer. And it's let us know our prayers have been answered. How many prayers has the Lord answered here at Providence Primitive Baptist Church? And has showed us he's answered our prayers. When we've asked for blessings on services and on meetings, and he showed us he's answered our prayers. When our brethren and sisters have been sick or diseased and we've said, Lord, please. And asked very specific prayers for healing and for positive test results. And time again, he's answered our prayers. All of the different things that we pray for. We've had some prayers answered very recently with the clear PET scans of Sister Marlene, the clear test results from Brother Carl, even in the last few weeks. The Lord shows us again and again. And Hezekiah gets the good news that before the prophet of God had even left and gotten out of the place, he tells that prophet, you go back and you tell him, I've heard your prayer. Not only did he hear his prayer, he said, I have seen thy tears. You know, it's easy for the devil to whisper in our ears and to tell us God doesn't hear and God doesn't see. But you know, that's a lie from Satan. Because the Lord does hear our prayers. And the Lord does see our tears. I don't think any of God's little children shed a tear without the Lord seeing those tears. I love Psalm chapter 56 and verse 8. Psalm of David. Psalms chapter 56 and verse 8. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings." He's saying, Lord, you tell, or we know a bank teller is one that counts. He says, you tell, you know, you count my wanderings. What does that mean? You know where I am. You know where my feet go. You know where I go. David had been all over the place running from King Saul at different times in his life. And no matter whether he was in a cave or was in this hiding place or in that hiding place, he realized the Lord knows where I am. The Lord tells, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. David writes many times about the tears that he has shed. He said, Lord, put thou my tears into your bottle. I'm told that in some of the biblical times when someone would lose one that they love very deeply, that they would put the tears that they shed for that loved one in a bottle. And the bottle would be buried with the one they loved. Here the Lord, David's asking the Lord, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? What's he saying? The Lord knows every tear we've shed. And David asked the Lord, and I believe in an answered prayer, put thy my tears into thy bottle. Now you think about that a moment. How would the Lord put tears, my tears, your tears, into a bottle? How would he do that? If you think very physically about how you would go about doing that, you'd either have to have a bottle right under your eye. He'd have to put a bottle under our eye to catch our tears. But you know, I rather suspect he would put our tears into a bottle in a different way. Revelation talks about a time when Jesus shall come again. The Bible said he shall wipe all tears from their eyes. You know, that's one way you could get tears in a bottle, is to wipe the tears from our eyes and then place them in the bottle. The Lord knows and the Lord cares about the achings of our heart, about our trials, our tribulation. He cares about where we are and what we're doing. He knows, he tells our wanderings, and he knows our tears. They're in his book. He knows everyone. You know, there's a lot of times we may shed tears in this life and nobody else knows. Even those that are most close to us, nobody else knows. But he always knows. David says, put thou my tears into thy bottle. The Lord knows every tear that we have, and he cares. And he gives Hezekiah the word, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. He gives him the good news. You're going to be healed.
And he said, on the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. He said, you're going to be healed, Hezekiah. And on the third day, you come to my house. He said, I'll add unto thy days 15 years. And I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I'll defend this city for mine own sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I go up unto the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, and the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing that the shadow go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return back 10 degrees. What's he saying? In accompanying of the great miracle of healing Hezekiah and giving to him 15 more years to his life, he said, I'm going to turn back time 10 degrees. When he talks about this turning back the shadow, back in these days, they would keep time with the shadow on a sundial. And that's the way they would know what time it is. So it's a way of saying, God's going to turn back time 10 degrees. You know, that's something we can't do. Have you ever done something that you very seriously, seriously regretted? And sometimes you regretted it right after you did it. And you just wished you could turn back time and do it over. But you know, we don't have that ability. But the Lord does. As he healed Hezekiah, he told him, I'm going to turn back time. I've seen your tears, Hezekiah. I've heard your prayer. I will heal thee. We love to sing that song, I need the prayers of those I love. I love when people tell me they're praying for me. So many of you in this congregation have said, I pray for you every day. I pray for your family. My mother always tells me, I pray for you every day. And the Lord answers those prayers. And I pray for you. The Lord reminds us throughout our life that he hears prayers and answers prayers. Thursday night, me and three other officers were headed to, one of our officers had lost his father. We were headed to a visitation in Rayville, Louisiana. We had gone to that visitation. We had come all the way back to Jackson, and we were in our Suburban, and I had me and three officers with us, and I'd pulled over with the federal courthouse to my right and the Jackson Fire Department to my left to let two officers off, and then I was going to take the other officer home. Let those officers off. Everything had gone well. We had had a good trip. And then out of nowhere, I felt a blast. I felt great pressure. And I didn't know at first what had happened. What had happened, we had been hit by a driver that was under the influence of drugs, and he had blasted into the back of us while we were parked there. Never heard any screeching marks. Never heard any swerving or anything. Just all of a sudden, you're sitting there parked thinking you're fine, and you feel the blast of a vehicle that's just hit you. One of the officers that had just gotten out of the vehicle had gotten to the back of the Suburban.
He had opened the door to get his suit jacket out, and it cleared the back of the Suburban by 3 seconds when the car blasted us from behind. Both the driver and the passenger were taken to the hospital by ambulance. The passenger's face had planted into the windshield. They were seriously injured. But I was okay. It wheeled me back. My head had gone forward and hit the steering wheel. And I'm a little sore, but I'm okay. Our fellow officer sitting to my right, he's a little sore, but he's okay. The officer that was at the back that 3 seconds earlier would have likely been killed, he's fine. What a blessing is answered prayers. God tells Hezekiah, I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver Jerusalem. And I'm going to heal you. He said, after 3 days, you'll go to the house of the Lord. You know, that's one of the great blessings. Is after all that the Lord had just done for Hezekiah, he said, you're going to, on the third day, go to the house of the Lord. Do you think anybody had to tell Hezekiah, now don't you miss church then? He was so excited and so thankful. The Lord's healed me. The Lord's blessed me. He's given me 15 more years of life. Nobody had to tell him, you better be in church. He was glad to go. I told that officer that nearly escaped death, I said, you better be thanking the Lord tonight. I said, the Lord delivered all of our lives, but he especially delivered your life. You were on foot. He said, I'm going to church Sunday. He said, and the Sunday after that, too. I said, you need to. But you know, not only did the Lord heal Hezekiah, the Lord's healed all of us. You know, the Bible talks about leprosy, and leprosy is a great picture of our sin. And leprosy is a very debilitating disease because it eats at you. It literally eats at your flesh if you have leprosy. And you begin to lose things. Many lepers begin to lose fingers and toes because that dreaded disease eats at you. And eats at your flesh and limbs begin to fall off. Do you know, from a spiritual standpoint, we're all lepers. But the Lord's healed us. He's touched us. And he's healed us from the dreaded sin like leprosy. I love what it says in Isaiah 53. It said, he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. We've been healed. Spiritually, he has blessed us. He's washed away our sin. Though we were leprous with sin, putrid with sin eating at our core, yet he healed us. I hope we, like Hezekiah, are always ready to go to the house of the Lord. He said, on the third day, you'll go to the house of the Lord. I love what Brother Rex used to say. He said, some people say, I've got to go to church. He said, I want to go to church. And that should be the cry of our heart of all the Lord has done for us. We ought to want to go to church. And if we don't, it's a sign of a problem. If we don't want to go, something's wrong. Well, what a great blessing to be in the house of God. And here Hezekiah comes, and the Lord delivers him and adds to his life 15 years, heals him, hears his prayer, and sees all his tears. Let's go to Esther chapter 5. Book of Esther chapter 5. Esther's a wonderful book to give just a little bit of the history of where we are here in this account. There's a great king that rules much of the known world at that time. He's a man named King Ahasuerus. He has a queen named Vashti who disrespects him and who he calls for her and she won't come. So he gets rid of her and he begins to look for a queen. And through the providential hand of God, God blesses him to love Esther, a little Jewish girl that, by the way, he doesn't know is a Jew. And he loves Esther and he makes her queen. There's a man in the kingdom named Haman. He's a very wicked man. He's a very jealous man. And he hates the Jews. Esther had been adopted. Her parents had died, and she had been adopted by one of her cousins who adopted her and was like her father. He was a man named Mordecai. Mordecai was a man of some prominence in the kingdom, and he would sit in the gate of the king. And when Haman would come by, who was a ruler there, Mordecai would never stand up and show Haman the respect that Haman thought he deserved. So Haman hated Mordecai. But more than hating Mordecai, he said, I want to get not only Mordecai, who's a Jew, but I want to kill all of Mordecai's people. Not just enough for me to get him. I don't like him. I don't like any of them. And so he goes to King Ahasuerus, and he tricks the king into signing a decree that on a certain day of a certain month, all the Jews will be exterminated, will be killed. He doesn't know that his wife, Queen Esther, is a Jew. So Mordecai's in sackcloth and ashes. And Esther hears about it. Mordecai relates to Esther all that's gone on and all that Haman has done. And here's what Mordecai, or Esther, tells Mordecai. Let me back up and say this before we read these verses. You could not come, even though Esther was the queen, she could not come into the presence of the king without permission. And the permission was given by the king holding out a golden scepter. The king didn't do that. It meant your death. So Mordecai is talking to Esther about going to the king. And Esther's saying, well, if I come unsummoned, it'll mean my death. And Mordecai says, who knows? But what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He tells Esther, basically, you take a step back. You look at the great blessing of God in blessing you as a little Jewish girl to be elevated to the queen of all the land. Who knows? But what you have come to the kingdom for just this time. You know, sometimes things can happen in our life and maybe we're wondering, why is this happening to me now? Why is this going on? It may be something that's happened at school, at work, or in other aspects of your life. But you know, as we pray to the Lord and as we ask for guidance, the Lord leads us. He winds up through His direction putting us in places where we need to be as we seek His will and seek to follow His will. And there's been different times in my life where I'm wondered, what's going on? Why am I here at this place at this time? And I think Esther was asking herself, why am I here at this place at this time? And these words come to my ears. Who knows? But what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, all of us here today live in a world that's far different than it was even 20 or 30 years ago. Who would have believed that we would be seeing states enact laws that would take a child's life at the moment before birth? And to hear a governor say, well, even when the baby's born, the mother and the doctor will sit there and we'll decide whether the baby lives or dies. And we may all wonder, why is this happening in our generation? Why is this happening in our children's generation? And these words come back to me. Who knows? But what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. No matter what life throws our way, we're to always be faithful and do what's right no matter what. No matter what the culture is. No matter what the wrong falsehood of Satan that may be prevalent in our culture today, we're to do what's right, what God says, and we're to always stand up for the truth, no matter what. Esther basically asked Mordecai, she said, you gather all the Jews together, and y'all don't eat or drink for 3 days. And I believe part of that was to fast and to pray. Fast and pray that the Lord will deliver us. Fast and pray that the Lord will protect us and save our people. And Mordecai does what she says. Then it says at the beginning of chapter 5, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house and against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. Do you think the Lord was answering the prayers of his people? He sees Esther out there. He had two options. He could deny to see her and could mean her death, or she could find favor in his sight. She obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Esther doesn't immediately tell him what she wants, but she eventually, in chapter 7, she makes her petition. In verse 3 of Esther 7, it says, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. She says, king, save my life. King, deliver me and deliver also my people. And that's when King Ahasuerus realized Esther was a Jew. And he redeemed her and her people. There had been a law passed that the Jews would be exterminated on a certain day. And you know, King Ahasuerus couldn't change that law. The laws of the Medes and the Persians were such that the kings were considered as little mini gods. And since you're a little mini god, which is a very wrong idea, but you don't make mistakes. So if you pass a law, you can't take it back, because that would show you made mistakes. So they couldn't do anything. He couldn't rescind that law. He had not the power. But you know what he did? He passed another law that gave the Jews the ability to defend themselves against all their enemies. He passed a second law that saved them. You know, Romans 8 talks about that too. Right after where we were talking, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death was still there. It was still in effect, but God passed another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We see that pictured here in Esther. There was a law that had been passed that all the Jews would be annihilated, that all the Jews would be executed and would be killed. But King Ahasuerus passed another law that saves them, that delivers them. I'll tell you, that's what God Almighty did for us. He passed the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We were all as an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. We're all damned in trespasses and sins. And hell was the rightful place we should go for that eternal death. But I'll tell you, praise God, God passed a law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And Jesus came and suffered and bled and died and redeemed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a people zealous of good works. In closing, I want us to just think for a moment about that moment where King Ahasuerus held out that scepter. Imagine a king in kingly robes, in kingly garments, holding out his hand. What happens if you've got on a robe and it's draped around you and you extend your hand out to hold out to the queen the golden scepter? What happens to your arm? It's made bare, isn't it? It comes out from the robe. I want to go to one more scripture as we close this morning. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He's talking about the proclamation of the gospel and the great blessing that the good news of Jesus Christ would go forth and peace would be proclaimed. Good tidings would go forth. And to say, thy God reigneth. God is on his throne. Then it says, break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Listen, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nation, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. What do we see? That when we were before the Lord, he held out the golden scepter to us. He made bare his holy arm. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was made bare even on the cross of Calvary with very little clothing. He was made bare. And he got peace for us. He secured us. He redeemed us. He washed away our sins. God's holy arm was made bare, and he held out the golden scepter for us and all God's family. all of God's people were redeemed. What a blessing. Esther came to the king on the third day. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.